Amen. I'm glad that God has a perfect plan. It's really been said well, in spite of everything that happens in the fabric of human life. It's good to know that God is in charge. And where the Lord is in charge, you can rest assured that there'll be answers to life's difficulties. And I want to preach for just a few minutes this morning in between the bad and the difficult. Job chapter 6. Job chapter number 6. Now, there's been a couple of times when it looked like that maybe God was going to do something that we needed Him to do. If you find the little book of Esther, you'll find just to the right of it is the book of Job. Probably and possibly more than any other individual in Bible times, people have discussed the life of Job. His life is read during the tablets of a time when there was no volume. God put him into the sequence of time unlike any other breathing creature. He confronted the good and the bad, and even sometimes the ugly. And God proved that he was a superior work of grace in Job's life. I don't know, but I think we've gotten a little too fancy. I think that we have somewhat gotten used to what church is all about, and we've missed the truest elements of his existence. Job understood that life was highly unpredictable. Man could never find answers in himself. He'd have to find them in God. And I tossed and tumbled. I have had 4 messages to preach. And wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with it. And the Lord steered me. I finally come to my wits' end trying to discern which of the messages that I needed to preach for this morning. And I believe that I'm in the right text today. And I want to thank the King of Glory for representing that to me. For some time up in the early morning, I bowed my head and I said, God, I don't think people need to just hear another message. I think they need to hear your message. And I'd like for you to clarify exactly where you want me to stir among the scriptures. And I feel rather confident now that Job chapter number 6 is it. If you would join me in standing, if you're able, I'd be most delighted for you to do so. And if you found Job chapter 6, I'd like for you to acknowledge it by saying amen. But Job answered in verse number 1 and said, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balance together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me." You can be seated. I did not ask you to be seated because maybe I'm finished in my reading, but I feel like there's a need to identify a couple of aspects of Job's walk. According to verse number 2, Job now has reason to believe that God is fully responsible for what's happening to him. And I want to say flat-footed, the devil can't do one thing to you or me without getting the approval of God to get it done. Job did not give the devil credit for what's happening to him. I think sometimes we give entirely too much credit to the bad and the ugly and the demonic when God himself is fabricating time and fabricating circumstances and bringing the culmination of his will to the forefront of our lives. Job has lived in one of the most crucial environments that any living creature could ever hope to endure. He has lost so much. He had so much, but he has lost so much. He's watched his family go to nothing. He's lost his livestock.
The fortune that he had hopes in is now gone away, and the only thing left is the very thing that God gave him in the beginning, and that was life itself. I want to remind every one of us that are here today, we must be honest. God gave us life, and we should utilize it to his fullest. He did not create us to fulfill the desires of this flesh. He saved us to honor him and his kingdom. We should be mindful of that. My every step and my every breath belongs to my Savior, the hope of all life. And I want to report in this morning, I'm glad I know where honor belongs. I see something else that transpires now. Job must not only answer to the tongues of the internal woes of his life, he must demonstrate what he's taking on in life. In verse number 4, he said, "For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, and the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God doth set themselves in array against me." Now let me show you a little twist within the time that Job speaks of. His friends have forsaken him. He has no one else to help him but God. And now he says with an openness that what's happening to me is God directed. And the funny thing about that is those so-called friends of his didn't understand the slightest degree what God was doing. I want to tell you something this morning. Whether I understand your problem is beside the point. Whether you understand your problem is beside the point. We've got to know that there's a God up in heaven that knows everything that's going on in our lives. We must be mindful that what God seeks to do in Job's life is not to harm Job. It's not to hurt Job. It is to fabricate Job and refine Job, that when God is done, he shall gather him in the by and by, and he shall worship God for time and all eternity. Woo! I'm glad that I know my Redeemer liveth. And I begin to think about this as I begin to study and try to find where God was in the midst of this message. I want to tell you, in between the bad and the difficult is God, in spite of what we think or what we do not think. I'm glad God is in charge of time. Notice in verse number 5, Job begins to declare some things that are evidence among the creation. He said, "Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder?" You know what he's saying? There'll be no bellowing from the ass when he's got plenty to eat. I'm telling you what Job's trying to say, I'm not crying out for nothing. I'm not belly aching for nothing. There's something going on inside of me, and God knows that it's justifiable for me to find him. Now, I want to tell you that a lot of the time when people gather together in a room such as this, they forget who is in charge of their life. They forget what is between the bad and the difficult. Some of you that are in this room, we're living during the most pressuring times we've ever lived before in our life. We're living in some days that we're writing new chapters in the books, and God's going to have to help us. We're going to have to let go of all the things that go on internally with us and let God take over. Notice in verse number 6, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" I kind of wondered about that. They tell us all this stuff is bad for us. And Job said that there's no taste in that. I've got an uncle to this day. He run about 6 miles a day. He's lift weights for years. And probably as fit as any man his age would ever hope to be. We'd sit down to eat breakfast back in the 90s, and he'd go to the breakfast table with me, and he'd tell the lady, he said, "I want you to bring me a plate of grits and the eggs, only whites." And he wouldn't eat the yellow, and I thought, bless God, put it on my plate. Because I read somewhere all of it's good if it's blessed, amen. Now you say, "Preacher, it's bad for your cholesterol." Not according to Job, it ain't. It's tasty for your mouth. Now I want to tell you, I enjoy knowing what God's doing in my life. There's a lot of things I put in my mouth that God ordered for me on my plate. I didn't like it. It didn't taste too good. It didn't feel too good. It didn't look too good. It didn't sound too good. But I'd like to report in today, it's all right. One of the most prevalent moods among our society is written within the topic of my message. In between the bad and the difficult, man is at his wit's end. He has forgotten where God is and the role that God plays in his life. I'm having a hard time unhooking for what I'm locked in on this morning, but I want you to know that God knows what it's going to take to help his children. Verse number 7, the things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. Don't tell me that a man that's in trouble and a man that's in pain don't want out. Job said, I'd like to get out. I want to tell you, I don't know of anybody that's ever walked closer to God than old Job did. The Bible said he was a man that escheweth evil. I want to tell you, he run from the bad. He run from the ungodly. But he found out that trouble found him. No matter how godly he was, he found that out. Boy, every once in a while, I feel something rise up inside of me. And I feel a voice from another land say, tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Tell them how it really is. I want to tell you what Job describes to us is that the soul refused how to touch. How the things that my soul refused to touch are as the sorrows. Oh, that I might, verse 8, have requests that God would grant me the thing that I long for. Even that it would please God to destroy me. You say, Pastor, where do you think Job was? I think it's pretty evident right now. Job said, if I was to go ahead and die and be buried, I'd be better off than I am right now.
Yes, sir.
You know what Job's pondering? Why are things the way they are? Why would the Lord find it necessitated to do unto me that which is being impressed in my life? That which is working in my life, that which is hurting in my life. Why would God have purpose and meaning in a time like this? I want to tell you, that's the reason God's God and man's not God, is because God knows what it's going to take. Number one, I am prone to believe that what God was doing through Job was going to be a lasting testimony for the devil.
Amen.
You said, prove it, all right. The Bible said that there was a day that the devil himself came to God.
Yes, sir.
And he said, I know why Job's a serving you. Why? Well, the reason he's a serving. Now, I want to tell you something, how I can prove to you that jealousy is ungodly. Mm-hmm. Yes. The devil had it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You said he wasn't jealous. Oh, yes, he was. One of the first things that came out of his mouth was the fact that he said, God, you just blessed him. And if you'll take away your blessing, he'll curse you and that'll be it.
Yeah.
But he's a liar.
He's a liar.
And the father of them.
Yes, sir, brother.
Boy, old Job had finally concluded that God himself was at work and God himself was touching and God himself was moving. He not only said even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort? Yea, I want to tell you something. I know in my heart of hearts, praise God, that when they bury me and I'm dead and gone, don't you weep for me. I'll be shouting around the throne because I'll be home. Home at last. Home at last. Great God Almighty, I'll be home at last. When I start thinking about all that the Lord has done and all that he did in Job's life, I'm reminded of four pillars that stood head and shoulders above all others in Job's life. Number one, I want you to be mindful of the chronic unhappiness that Job experienced. There's habitual response in Job's life. Now, I want to tell you that where you and I are standing today, God's working, trying to do something in our life, and sometimes we don't respond to it adequately. People everywhere you go is on the edge. They're ready to pop. They can't handle life. Their whole world's turned upside down. By the way, every aspect, I think, of human life became turbulent in Job's experience. He enjoyed his family And God allowed him to be taken off. He enjoyed the fortune. God allowed it to be taken. Hey, bless God, when you own everything, what good is a little bit of cattle and a few? By the way, if you read the last chapter, he had more in the end than he had in the beginning.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Somebody said, well, I don't understand it. I don't understand it either, but I believe it.
Amen.
I want to tell you, when God is at work and God is stirring and God is moving, we ought to be mindful of what he's doing. Started reading according to verse number 1. The Bible said, but Job answered and said. The truth of the matter is this. Job is answering to the accusations of Eliphaz. And Eliphaz has created such a mixed emotion in the life of Job that he himself cannot contain what he holds within himself any longer. He realizes and recognizes that Eliphaz has no idea. I am prone to believe, had this friend so-called of his were to live the same day, live the same way, carry out the same life, he would have crumbled a long time before Job. You said, why, Pastor? Because God didn't choose Eliphaz. He chose Job.
Yes, he did, brother. Amen.
The Lord saw Job. He saw Job for what he was through God. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, hear me closely. If we start looking at our life not as what we are in the mirror reflection of our homes, but what we are in the mirror reflection of our Christ, it may make living a whole lot more pleasant. Job's name simply demonstrates him as the patriarch of patience. Now I want to tell you, it appears to me that in the 6th chapter, Job is all out of patience. Would you agree? He's had enough. Life has handed him a bad card, and it looks like there's no way out of the blunders that Job is facing right now. I want you to see that there is the habitual woe in Job's life, and he cannot get away from it. He said, but Job answered and said. He's now answering in response to the attack of his friend. His friend has accused him of doing something wrong and sinning before God. It amazes me how people know more how I'm living than I do. It amazes me. That's why I don't believe in calling no man into a booth and looking through a knot hole and talking to a knothead. What I'm simply saying to you is that old Job now has to come to grips with where life is. You say, Pastor, I've got some of that in my life. That's why God's got me preaching it. I know there's chronic unhappiness in this church. I know there's chronic unhappiness in your home and in your life. But I'm glad I know a God that's right in between the bad and the difficult, and he knows how to work it all out.
Amen. Amen.
Job not only lost his family, his fortune, his farm, he lost his health. They find him when he's sitting down. And I want to tell you, I told you just a little bit ago, I believe that in the fabric of time that God is taking each of these elements and he's going to show the devil just how great God himself really is.
Amen.
He's going to take a man that had what he had due to God's graces and let that man go to nothing and raise him. By the way, in the New Testament, we believe in a resurrection. You cannot have a resurrection without a death. In my public opinion, I do believe that Job died a death right here that few people acknowledge. He died under God in his mind. He's already dead. Just bury me and take my remains. I'd be better off without it.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Boy, I can see that all across our land, there's such negative moods. So many people are living in chronic unhappiness. They're living day after day with such despair before their eyes. People think that they can be happy with this and happy with that. Just give me Jesus and I'll stand for him. Just give me what he's got to offer. I'm better off with him. I can see now that Job verbalized the internal woe of his own heart. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. the best thing that ever happened to you and to me is for us to verbalize before a holy God before we leave this building this morning. God, I'm tired of being unhappy. I'm tired of being down and out. I'm tired of living a life lacking. Y'all still with me? I'm tired of being where I'm at. I'm ready to move up.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Poor old Job had to declare something that very few people, I think, have ever lived in the midst of. I can see Job now not only showing us that there is a routine emotion in his life. Job has been injured. Job is living in the midst of distress. Job's life is damaged. He is under severe pain. Job has been wounded in the greatest degree of any definition that you could find in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Now I want to tell you, when a person comes to that place and a person comes to that point in life, you will have to agree with me that Job answered and said, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed." You know what Job's saying? I've spilled it all before God. I've given God everything there is inside of me. And I want to tell you, I'm responding to what you said about me and about my life. I declare to you that if God would take the scales of time and put them with how I've been living, I believe it all show itself and everything would be all right. Sometimes it's a long time before the scales are tipped. The quality of what's going on in a person's life is of essence. It means so much to God that people understand Job's living in sensitive hurt. Can I ask you men and women something this morning? Is there sensitive hurt in your life? Everywhere we turn today, we feel let down. And what we've done, if we took a little hurt from 20 miles down the road or 100 miles down the road, a little bit from 5 minutes in a church house, a little bit from the workplace where somebody had a bad attitude, and we never have gotten rid of it. And it's just been piled up into one place. And all of a sudden, probably the most innocent person is going to get it because all the things that's been piled up for the last 15 or 20 years that we just kind of rubbed off somewhere else and brushed away somewhere else, it's going to catch it from us. Now I want to tell you, we live in the most, if you talk about opinions, this crowd we're living in right now, the most opinionated outfit I have any record of in my life. Job said, in between the bad and the difficult, man must acknowledge and man must accept and man must know that there is a God. I learned something when I was studying that second verse. The Hebrew word that Job used there, oh, is a word that is descriptive of a man that is vexed from the deep fibers of his soul. And that word demonstrates that Job is under a prayerful environment. He's praying about his situation. I do believe this. I believe if we could get to the place that we could pray about the circumstances that confront us and get to the place that we could throw it all on God, we wouldn't have to throw it in the face of somebody else. Does that sound about right? What I'm simply telling you is you take one over here and one over there, one back over here, and you put them all in the same room. Everybody's got something bad to tell. And I want to tell you right now, Job didn't go looking for Eliphaz. Eliphaz come looking for Job. I don't know what's happened to this crowd anymore. The only thing that makes news is bad stuff. Is that right? Isn't that a shame? I don't know why people can't think positive any longer. I think I know part of the reason. People no longer spend time in their Bible. Therefore, they have nothing to recover their spirit. Are you with me? The Bible says that the psalmist declared, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." If you don't put the word of God in you, the only thing that'll clean your life up, the only thing that can come out of you is dirty and rotten. It has an odor to it. Job expresses the internal woe of his life. He says, I answered. There are two things that we need to understand, maybe three, that Job declares in his answer. Number one, it is a testimony to the accusations made about me. I'm here to tell you this morning, if there's any one thing that I have made up in my life, I have by the grace of God made up in my mind, I'd like to die serving God, and I'd like to carry on the work of God the best I know how until Jesus comes.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Job said everything that I could have possibly done, that I can imagine have tried to do, was not only Job's testimony in that his answer, it's Job's response to someone that's negative. I want to tell you something. Sometimes no matter what you say, it's going to be wrong. That's why sometimes it's better not to say nothing. I asked a dear lady last evening, I said, she said, can I get you anything else? I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you have any words of wisdom for a man that needs it? And she looked at me like I was half crazy. What did he say? I'm serious about this. We need to come to a time and a place that we seek God's way in every place, in every situation. Amen. And I want to tell you that when you and I come to a place in life like Job comes to, we'll have to testify that I've done everything I know to do. And when we bring ourselves to God, we've got to pray like Job prayed. Job uncovered every rock. He brushed out every grit. And he brought himself face to face with God. By the way, when you get before God and you've been clean as you can get, as far as I'm concerned, there's no place else to prove yourself any higher than the Lord. Amen. I can see Job now in his answer. He testifies in his response to his so-called friend. But I can see Job in giving an account for the life that he's been living. He said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balances together. Job said, no one can really see what I'm experiencing now but God. That word for grief is a word that means to be vexed. It literally describes the indignation of woven trouble. It displays for us the severity of pain when it has been poured into a life that does not understand it. Job said, you never see the sorrow that's in my heart because God's the only one who can do it. But here he calls for heaven. And he says, I would that my grief was weighed. He speaks of the payment. Now, when I was a boy, we farmed. And the crops that we had, the tobacco that we gathered in, they weighted, and based on the weight of that tobacco was how we were paid. But everything that was calibrated in life was not calibrated on weight. For instance, when we took our cucumbers to market, they separated them. They separated the big ones from the little ones. In most instances, a man would think that the big cucumbers were his prized possession. But they were not. The number ones and the number twos are the little ones. They are worth far more than the big ones. Be careful how you calibrate life. Yes, sir. Be careful how you think you've got it all together. Some things are way out in time by their quality, not by their quantity. Amen. I want to tell you, God knew the weight of Job's life was what he had poured into him was bound to come out of him. Now, I don't know how to tell you this and you not be a little bit puzzled in perplexity and scratch your forehead. But I do believe in acknowledgement that where Job is now, he says when God begins to weigh the scales, he'll show my friends and he'll show my enemies. I've been walking with the Lord. I may not understand it. I may not be able to explain it, but I know when it's all said and done, between the bad and the difficult is God. I've got to look directly at you and ask you a question. What's between the bad and the difficult in your life? All around us, we see things. Man, I want to tell you right now, celebration ought to be around the throne. Amen. I want to tell you right now, you can throw a party any way you want to, but celebration ought to be before the Lord. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, God's grace is rather evident in this room. The Lord's really blessed some of you beyond measure. Really, I think he's blessed every one of you. Some folks are better at expressing it than others. Amen. I want to tell you, if God, the Lord said to him, much is given, much is required. That's why everything that's in our lives, we have to give an account to God for. We have to be a good steward. Can I get a witness on that? We must acknowledge that God is here. Job said, what I want you to do is suspend it. Now, Job has these weights in mind. I don't know.
When I'd go in to get a physical, I'd say, well, I need to get your weight. I thought, under God, this is going to be really discouraging. People ask me all the time, said, so what are you up to? I said, for what I weigh, bless God, ought to be 6 foot and 1/4 inches. Some of you will get that about tomorrow. That means I'm a little old beast. I know a man my size ought not weigh 190-some pounds. But I about decided that a little Baptist chicken help you. When them old boy looked up one the other day and he was laughing about it, he said, boy, you know what this is? He said, no. He said, that's a fence around a Baptist chicken graveyard right there. Poor old Job. He's living between the bad and the difficult. He's facing chronic unhappiness. But now we can hear him in the words of brokenness. I want to tell you today that my God shows us when men collapse, it's not a laughing matter. It's not a time for playing games. It's not Russian roulette. Bless God. You ought to give everything you've got to God because Amen. He's involved in your life. How many people in the last year or two has called my number and said, preacher, I want to talk to you. You believe I could go to heaven if I killed myself? Oh, God. You're talking about a man that goes to praying real fast. My old heart begins to beat rapidly. And I'm thinking right now, here's somebody in dire need of a turnaround. You said, I don't believe that'll happen. You never know. I've had so many people tell me I had a gun to my head. And when this is over, I'm giving it up. I'd say, no, wait a minute. You just well get that out of your head right now. I want to tell you, life's precious to God. If you'll just give me a minute, I'm somehow or another trying to talk them out of it real quickly. Don't play with people when they call you like that. And I'd say, sir, I don't think we ought to discuss such matters as this over the telephone. You said, what'd you tell him that for? Because I want him to give me a chance to get where he is. A man's going to think about killing himself. I'd rather get where he is. I believe I could touch heaven. I believe somehow that I could fall on my face and find God. You said, why do you believe that? Because I found him too many times to doubt him now. I found a time that I might not have a whole lot to hope for a whole lot of people. But one thing I do know in my heart, I can bow down and I can sense God when the Lord comes. I'm just about like I'm getting a hold of him right now. I can sense the power of God and the presence of God. And I want to tell you, life is precious to the Lord. I not only see the chronic unhappiness of Job's life, I see the words of brokenness. Some of you sitting in this room, it's evident what's going on in you. I've been listening to you. You're broken up inside. Some of you right here, you living for Friday and Saturday. Friday and Saturday don't mean nothing if you ain't got God in front of you.
That's exactly right.
People trying to put this in place so when they get to a certain age, they can enjoy life. Well, I believe I got enough seniors in this room that'll tell you it ain't all that they've tried to make it be. You take every piece of money you've been able to put up and that'll not buy you health. You go tell that movie star they said it's had cancer. Ask him if he'd give every dime he's got to be well. I guarantee you he'd give everything he had to be healthy. He'd probably like to have your seat this morning. Let me say this as I'm trying to wind things. I know I'm not finished. Are y'all with me this morning? Do you understand what I'm on? Do you understand the page of life I'm in this morning? Poor old Job. He's living in chronic unhappiness. His life is nothing but a habit of unhappiness and sorrow and sadness. You know, every once in a while I just get plumb tired of being sad.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother. Amen. Amen, preacher.
Like to wake up one day when there's no more decisions to be made. And it's all clean and clear.
Yeah. Amen.
Formalism don't help me. God does.
Amen.
Oh,
amen. Yes,
I would have liked to have had a friend like Job. He said, I would. My life was thoroughly balanced in the waves of time.
Yes, sir.
If God just put me on the scales, He could declare what I am.
Yes, sir.
That's what Job was saying. I want you to stand all across this room, Miss Ruth, if you would come to the piano. I don't think we ought to have 10 verses. I believe the appeal among this congregation is clearly stated. We need to give up some things today that are hurting us.